Great catch.
No, that's why we forgot to.
You sent the memo yesterday.
Friday.
I did.
You did or did not?
No, I did get it.
Okay.
I just don't have it.
Okay.
Do I need to call this to order?
Angel?
Yes, ma'am, please. Just announce that it's a work session.
Okay, this is the local option gas tax work session. We have present Matthew Brower, Jay Musley, Susie Heinbacher, Mayor Kit Gwynn, Mary Sue Rich, John McLeod, and Daniel Owen.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Brower.
Thank you, Council President. This Thursday, we have at 1:30 p.m. a joint work meeting with the Board of County Commissioners. Now, this joint meeting is with all the five municipalities in Marion County, and so there'll be a lot of elected officials at this table. And that's why I understand they've moved the location to be near the Livestock Pavilion in their large auditorium. The subject matter for Thursday's joint work meeting is to discuss the local option fuel tax. Two issues. One, of course, is the renewal of the fuel tax, which is really a no-brainer. But probably more importantly is the methodology by which the revenue derived from those fuel taxes would be allocated amongst the five municipalities and, of course, the county. We sent to you last week a memo, a white sheet, if you will. It looks like this, about four or five pages long, and two attachments. One says Marion County, and the other says Ocala. What I would like to do, with your permission, is kind of tag team this. Let this be an open discussion. This is really a rehearsal for Thursday's joint meeting, utilizing Cindy Kelly and John Legge, is to maybe go through the memo page by page, dropping back to the attachments when necessary, addressing any questions that you may have as we go through this, so that you feel like you're prepared for dialoguing our points of view with the County Commission on Thursday.
Do you have another copy of the memo?
I sure do. Is there anyone else that needs a copy?
We have five.
What's that? You need another one?
Yeah.
One more? John or Daniel, do you need a copy of the memo?
I've got one.
You good? Okay. Need one more?
Yeah, I do need one more.
Me too. Both down.
Glad you lost some extra.
Thank my staff. They're the brilliant ones.
One more.
We have one more coming your way.
Okay. Sorry.
Is that it?
And I won't have
one. Take that off. Right.
You need any more?
You got one. I got.
We're good.
Are you good?
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, with your permission, what I'd like to do is kind of go through the memo page by page, dropping back and hitting the attachments to make sure you understand those. This is to be an open dialogue. Stop us at any time if you have any questions or need clarification, and let's proceed that manner. In fact, Cindy and John, if you will just engage us and go along as we go through this. I'll go ahead and start. What I'm going to talk about is this memo again here. And on the first page, it has a table that talks about the history of the three local option fuel taxes. And the first one is the 9-cent fuel tax. Right now, it is actually a 1-cent collection. You have, secondly, the local option fuel tax. Right now, that is at 6 cents. And the third one is the second local option fuel tax, and that's currently at 5 cents. Now, those council members that were on council about 3 years ago will recall the establishment of the second local option fuel tax when we put that one in place. And you'll see that in the history or the origin of the fuel tax, where it says that was adopted on February 17th of 2009. It's my understanding, and staff, please correct me if I'm wrong, that the discussion relating to Thursday's fuel tax is going to deal with the first local option fuel tax and, to some degree, the 9-cent fuel tax. Okay?
Well,
Matt, if I could just intervene, it is actually going to be about all three.
It'll be all three?
Yes. The second local option, even though it is not ending in the agreement that we signed with the county, we said at the time that the first local option ended, we would renegotiate that agreement.
Great clarification, thank you. The last point I'll make about that first table is in the very right-hand side, the current distribution percentage. You'll notice it's the same for all three. You'll see the two, the smallest communities at 0.64%, the two middle-sized communities at 2.56, Ocala at 23.5, and Marion County with the lion's share of all three of those taxes at 70.10. Cindy, let me kind of maybe go to you on this next part. You were at the meeting when they were talking about their agenda and their purpose for moving forward. You want to kind of review the next section of the memo?
Yes, thank you. I went to the county's workshop that they had when they presented this to their board, when staff presented to the board. And their objective at that meeting was, one, to garner the board's support for just the renewal in and of itself of the local option gas tax, which I do not think is in dispute from any of the entities. We all agree we need to renew the local option. Secondarily, the 9-cent fuel tax, which is a one penny tax, they are under no obligation via Florida statutes to share that gas tax with the municipalities. So their objective was to effectively end the distribution of that tax to the municipalities. And then additionally, the 1-6 and the 1-5 local options, they wanted to change the distribution formula. Best we could tell, the nexus for the change is the current distribution formula. They were unable to determine what the methodology for that distribution was. It was established 30 years ago and they didn't have a formula or anything concrete that says how they came to those percentages. There's been some discussion that it may have been related to population back then, and the population centers have changed since then. So they were just looking for a concrete measure by which to distribute the first local option and the second local option. And the methodology proposed by staff was population as determined by BBER, which is data that's put out annually, so it's very easily obtained, and they were recommending that option. The board, this was their first hearing of these options. They were unaware of the changes that were being proposed prior to the workshop. And their direction was to go back and engage the cities. They were taken aback by the fact that the cities had not been engaged to that point, that there had been no discussion with the cities as to what the impact would be to us, how it would affect us, and things of that nature. So that's where we are today. We've engaged with multiple meetings with the county at this point. We've engaged with county finance, which are the different calculation sets that you're looking at as the attachments, as well as with their engineering staff to kind of come up with some different methodologies that would hopefully hold the cities harmless.
Thanks, Cindy. So let me invite you to go to page 2 of that memo. And there's a table at the very top of that page. And this is a summary of the current and proposed distribution percentages, as Cindy's indicated, that are based on population. You'll notice the current distribution, which you've already talked about. And then you have the proposed distribution based on population. And you'll notice Ocala's goes from 23.5 current distribution to 17.13 proposed distribution. And again, that's based upon population, okay? That's a percentage difference of a negative 6.37% and a loss of revenues to the city of Ocala of approximately $1.7 million. So it's a big hit.
Just one caveat, this is based on the fiscal year 2011 and 2012 revenues. So this is past history.
Thanks, John, for clarification. The other cities are in the same boat. If you look at McIntosh and Reddick, their current distribution is 0.64%. Their proposed distribution drops down to 0.14 and 0.15 respectively. Their percentage differences drop considerably, as do their total differences. Now, the $100,000 don't look like much to us, but to them it is enormous. I have talked with Representatives McIntosh. Their mayor said he's going to be there, and he chewed my ear off for about 30 minutes on the phone of how upset he is about the proposal to reduce their distribution allocation. Dunellen and Bellevue are in the same boat. They go from 2.56% under the current distribution formula to 0.52 for Dunellen, 1.37 for Bellevue, which also, of course, has a significant percentage decline. And Dunellen will see $428,000 loss, and Bellevue, $271,000 loss. I have also been in contact with their officials, and they're also expressing great frustration in the proposed reduction that would be coming about as a result of using population as the basis of allocating those revenues. And so they are going to be there in full force. Yes.
Our population hasn't dropped. How are they doing that, Sandholm, based on population?
It's current population. And what's happened, Ms. Rich, is the county's total population has grown significantly since 1980, whenever that was. And so our population's relative to the county's population is actually smaller, and that's why our numbers are less. Okay?
Okay.
So Cindy, would you take a moment and talk about the 9 cent fuel tax, and maybe just hop on over to also the first and second local option fuel tax?
Absolutely. Again, the 9 cent fuel tax is a 1 cent levy. And it is authorized for general transportation purposes. And under Florida statutes, the counties are under no obligation to share that 9 cent with the municipalities. For whatever reason, back 30 years ago when this 9 cent was established, the county opted to share with the municipalities. So we have enjoyed 30 years worth of revenue sharing for the 9 cent gas tax. At this time, the county does not seem interested in continuing to share. For the city, that's about $500,000 hit alone from the 9 cent. The unfortunate part with the 9 cent is that we don't have any statutory legs to stand on, if you will, because they are under no obligation. So basically, for the 9 cent, we would be appealing to their better nature and holding us harmless by not reducing the levy that we currently receive for the 9 cent. As it relates to the first and second local option fuel taxes, the first local option fuel tax can be used for multiple transportation related purposes. The second local option is restricted to new construction. So we have some very specific projects for which we are using that, Magna being the California 9 project being one of them, because there's a brand new road being laid through there. There is a statutory requirement for the first and the second local option to be shared with municipalities. There is what's called the default formula. Under the default formula, you would take the last 5 years average of expenditures throughout the county, and you would remove airport expenditures and any expenditures that are paid for with bond proceeds, and then you could add back the debt service payments for those bonds. And that would be the default formula. We had a bit of a difference in our calculation between the county and the city, and that's why you had the two separate attachments. The county didn't have all of our information of what needed to be backed out, so we provided that information. That default formula does take us down below where we presently enjoy at the 23.5% distribution. So that's, in a nutshell, the way the three taxes that are in question.
Yeah, those calculations are in these documents here. One says Ocala, the other Marion County. That's where these come from.
I have a question.
Please.
What we are doing now is 23.5. If we went to the default calculation, how does that affect our revenues as far as dollars are concerned?
Let me just address. One of the things I want to just emphasize, Cindy, is that absent an interlocal agreement, you go to the default formula. So the city and county can agree on any method, any number. So, but if you can't come to an agreement, you go to the default formula, which is basically we submit our annual financial report to every year, and that's a recap of all of our expenditures based on the function, whether it's transportation, general government. And basically the default formula is taking all of those transportation expenditures across the board, reducing it by the amount of expenditure paid with bond proceeds less airport. And what we did, what Marion County, and the thing you have is Marion County, they have provided their calculations, but they did not have our bond expenditures that we pay with bonds. So we had to fill in our portion. Their calculation comes to 21.69% under the default formula. Our calculation, which I sent to their county finance yesterday morning, has the default formula calculated at about 17.42%. And that's backing out the airport expenditures and backing out the expenditures paid with bond proceeds. And so that's why you've got two of those in front of you. One of them is Marion County's calculation, absent our numbers, and the other one is plugging in our numbers.
Okay, so on the memo, where we have the default formula, and that's highlighted, and it has us at 21.69%. Is that one?
That's Marion County's calculation.
That's Marion County.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And ours is 17.42.
Our calculation puts us at 17.42.
Yes, ma'am.
The default.
Yes, ma'am.
After all.
And we've sent that for confirmation to Marion County Finance, as I said yesterday, hoping to hear back from them so we can agree on those numbers.
Okay.
Any other questions on that? Daniel?
I appreciate all the work on this. This is good. We're looking at the dollars. We understand the impact of the decision or the lack of decision on their part.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, John, they could take the easy way out and say, well, we're not going to make a decision on this, and we'll just default to Tallahassee, and we'll go by the default statute, and this is just what everything's going to be. I mean, some things that are not in here, I don't know if we have enough time to do it, but it goes back to big picture for me from the standpoint of what it is they're trying to do. And I hope when you said that they were taken back, Cindy, when you said that they were, I hope you were talking about the commission, that they were taken back, that they hadn't been, that
yeah.
The municipalities hadn't been notified because.
Yes, sir, that's correct. That was one of the first questions that Ms. Bryant posed to staff was, where are the cities? Are they here to represent themselves? And staff had indicated that they had not reached out to any of the cities or let us know. And they, she used the term that they weren't being good business partners in taking that approach.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
you have to understand what staff's agenda is over there, so you'll find out easily why none of the municipalities were contacted. But notwithstanding, as I said, Ms. Rich, you asked a question about our population. You know my speech, Ocala's not growing. We're getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and here we are 12 years in UC. When you go back to this, 83, I think, is the date. That's why we're talking, this was a 30-year deal. So, I mean, this goes back
yes.
to like 1983
yes.
on the when this thing was formed. The mentality back then, and if y'all can remember, and you picture Ocala 1983 versus, a 2013, right? Villages didn't exist, on top of the world didn't exist. Ocala was, as we just come out of our meeting last week, economic hub of Marion County. For 30 years, and we've grown, and we all of a sudden, why Ocala, and what are these reasons? I don't know if we have enough time, but as I sit here and I look at McIntosh, Reddick, Dunellen, Bellevue, Ocala, a question I would have would be, I know Ocala has 56,000 people. I have no idea how many people are in Bellevue, Dunellen, McIntosh, and Reddick. Obviously, the numbers get a little bit smaller as McIntosh. I don't know, Mayor, maybe you know, I mean, how many official residents are McIntosh, downtowners. I don't know what that number is or how many people. But when we go to 56,000 people, as we're going over there and meet with them Thursday and saying, wait a minute, look at these. There's six people are standing around for every dollar that's getting handed out on this tax money. Five of us are going to take a huge hit, and one of you, the unincorporated Marion County, as you see there, the unincorporated. So you're trying to understand the mentality of how are you going to lay this argument out of, hey, wait a minute, it's not just an Ocala thing. The population of Ocala, Bellevue, Dunellen, Reddick, and McIntosh as a whole, what is that number? It's not 56,000. So is it 75,000? Is it 90,000 when we combine all of that? Jay, do you know how many people are Dunellen residents or Bellevue?
That's easily found.
So whatever that, I mean, we call Bellevue, how many? I don't know, say 15,000.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden there's 70,000 people. And we take Dunellen and everybody else. So we're a population that we know of, we think about. I don't know, 350,000, are we estimated to be close to 400,000 now?
331,000.
If you take the municipalities, I would hope that that number gets a little bit closer to 100,000. So you're talking one third of this population is getting ready to get it taken. And I go back to this, the argument. One third of the county is going to be affected with their decision. That's going to benefit the other 60%, 66% in the unincorporated area. And I will challenge you to think about those other 66 in the unincorporated. Where do they go to shop? Where do they go to the hospital? Where do they go to the courthouse? Where do they go to get their driver's license? Where do they go to pay their taxes? Where we got these little pockets of economic hubs, right? People go into Bellevue that live down in that part of the county, or they go to the villages. People who are out here from, you know, our lows, they come out of the fort. That's what we are, that's what we do. I think the courthouse, and we go back historically, 2002, the county came over to us. They had the 1 cent sales tax, for some of y'all remember, they're gonna raise $60 million. They ended up raising, I think, close to 70 on the 1 cent sales tax back in 2002, 2003. The courthouse needed, which, the, you know, we just had the ribbon cutting, but that goes all the way back to 2002, expansion of the courthouse, fixing up of the livestock pavilion. The county came to the municipalities and said, we're asking each municipality to forego your statutory, you know, agreement on this tax, and says, forego your portion of the tax, which ended up being $12 million to the city, because we want to invest it in these situations. Well, it's benefited. We absolutely want the courthouse in downtown Ocala. It is a huge, I mean, so there was a little bit of, yes, we're not just losing $11 million, we are gaining something. But if you remember a few years later, then Commissioner Harris came and tried to move the courthouse annex, you know,
C.L. Dinkins
out to C.L. Dinkins property, all right? So that all of a sudden the courthouse wasn't going to be downtown. We weathered that storm 3-2, but I know for a fact, and I remember Bruce Phillips, Susan, you still may have been here, right? I mean, your first year, all the traffic patterns that we had to rearrange in, down, and around, who's the, down at Goodyear?
Yeah, post office, Tarvick, no block.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
There was a lot, yeah. You remember all of the, yeah. just in that instance that we had, the city of Ocala had taken on the chin, and we're rearranging just for that, but it's a good stuff. I mean, we're not complaining about that the courthouse is in Ocala, it's here and we're thankful and wonderful, but it does force us, the city, to have to handle this economic hub, number one, that we're wanting to become, but number two, that we are. And so my point, and going on Thursday, I don't know how many numbers that you can get, that how many people live in the cities, municipalities, the totality. Let's just don't go in there and say, well, we're 56,000 people, but we're 150,000 during the day. But at Bellevue's, I'm sure, is can tell you that if they're, I don't know, at Bellevue, I want to say 15, and that may be, for some reason, I want to say 15,000. But I would bet you Bellevue can tell you, and they'll argue that they go from, say, 15,000 to 25,000.
It's actually 4,509.
Yeah.
That 4,000?
Yeah, I was shocked. I thought it would be more than that.
I was thinking 15, so yeah. So they're 4,000, right? So we're 60,000 people. And then if you had Dunellen, probably same thing, I'm guessing?
Less than 2,000, a little bit less.
2,000? Mm-hmm. So you're going to end up with 2,600, you're going to end up maybe less than 70,000 people on this thing that affecting the economic hubs, and still these are where people go to run their lives. 100% of the people, there's not grocery stores in the forest, and there's not courthouses in the forest, and there's not all these unincorporated areas of Marion County. Those people choose to live there, and that's great and wonderful because they want to be in an unincorporated area, but I guarantee you their lives are affected by coming in to one of these cities and coming into one of these, you know, economic hubs that are in and around. And so, you know, somehow, you know, the county has to understand that, and that it does, it affects us. We know at the Ocala Police Department, the number's up to like 60% of crashes that happen in the city are induced by county residents or people that are just driving through. I mean, that's a huge number. And I remember the police department telling us, you know, it's $1,500, I think, to work a crash, you know, just to get there. And, you know, the fire department shows up. And so we're just in a little, who knows what. You get a crash in the city of Ocala where 60% of that number is induced by somebody who's not even a part of Ocala. We're, you know, it's a quick, I don't know, we're talking $3,000-$4,000 just for OPD and fire rescue to show up. Just like that, there we go. And we're taking care of 60% of the time somebody else's mess. So I don't know if we can get some of those numbers. And the other number I would be curious, Ocala, all these municipalities, how much property tax do we pay? I can tell you, I write checks out, paid to the order of George Albright. We all do. here's my tax bill. How, you know, what is the tax bill that comes from the city of Ocala to the county? What is the tax bill of Bellevue? Just here we go, here's the taxes and all of these things. What is that number? What percentage of that is into their budget versus the unincorporated areas where half of it's zoned agriculture, and as long as you got a goat out there, you don't have to pay any taxes. And so it's that type of thing. I mean, I don't want them to miss the boat of whether they like it or not. And we've talked about going into last week, county's looking for a city. Well, they got five of them. You know, they got five of them that are vibrant. They got five of them that are working. They got five of them that do make things happen. And people do choose to live in these cities and these municipalities. So hopefully we can steer some of that into the decision makers over there. And that we just encompass this memo that you got here, that's just a little bit more encompassing. If we're going in from a municipality standpoint, let's just not say we're Ocala, we want our money. This is a municipality. Your economic centers for the unincorporated Marion County are affected every day by the unincorporated citizens of Marion County, because this is where they come to live, to work, to play, to shop. MCYFL, we know those numbers. I can tell you, Linda, you were involved in it a lot. You know, you got 2,800 kids played last year, MCYFL at Jervie Gant, 89% county residents. Right, and it's every Saturday. Jervie Gant, it fills up, the ditches fill up, Jervie Gant, and it's great, and it's wonderful, and we're excited that they're coming to Ocala, because they go to McDonald's, and they go to the Burger King's, and they go down to the gas station, go right there. I guarantee you, they go to the gas station in Ocala, which and that operator's paying city tax and county tax and all these other types of things, and their infrastructure is getting hit. That is a number one. I don't know if we can find out how much money of the gas tax is collected in the municipality.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
How much? We've tried. That's a number that we've been unable to pin down.
From who?
Well, go ahead.
The Department of Revenue, that's not how gas taxes are reported. They're not reported by who sold it. It's reported by the suppliers that supply to, so it's reported at the county level, and that's where it's paid. So supplier X supplied, you know, X amount of millions of gallons to Marion County, and that's where it ends. They're not by entity. And actually, if you look at sales, there's some consumption data, but the gas stations out by the interstate have the largest amount of sales. Well, that's not city residents or county residents buying all of that gas. That's people riding through on the interstate, stopping and getting gas. So that weakened our argument a little bit.
John, and then I want to say something
And just something quick. You know, the population of Ocala is, what,
56.
I would imagine, I'm not sure you can even find this number because I'm not sure it exists, but within a 3-mile radius of the actual city limits of Ocala and Bellevue and Dunellen, I bet you could almost double that population if you expand it out a little bit, because you're just talking the actual city limits, but yet those people can take a step over the line and be in the city of Ocala, or they get in their car in the first grocery store is a half a mile down the road inside the city limits. So
the county, you know, agrees with you, because that's why they don't want to extend the urban service area.
And that's
a heck of a lot of people and a heck of a lot of
but
meters.
You know, if you looked at
the population of the people who think they live in Ocala. Right.
Well, and that's true.
Well, that'd be closer to 300,000. I'll tell you that.
Well, and that's my point. I would venture to say that the population of greater Ocala area that is just outside the city limits, which, you know, we do expand from time to time, is much larger than the 56,000.
Do we know the amount of roads that we maintain versus the amount that the county maintains, and
yes,
also the other?
Yes, we maintain about 10% of the roadways in the county.
About
so
10%?
Yes.
Yeah. How about mile. Vehicle traffic? Do we know, is there any studies on vehicle traffic?
We haven't put counters out at every road to see who all. I mean, that's just some of that data to collect is cost prohibitive to collect the data.
President, let me start on what you just got through saying. I called Steve Gray this morning and asked him, back when we were having a discussion about Heathbrook, if you remember all that, we were talking about trips and things like that out in front of Heathbrook. Steve, I think, at one point in time, had talked about the daytime, you know, population of Ocala. He suggested perhaps call Jonathan Thigpen at Kimley Horn and look at the traffic counts at the entry points to Ocala. I know we have that number without going out and, you know, counting traffic. So those numbers exist somewhere. If you could look at those numbers, I think you could probably find some kind of guesstimation, so to speak.
We've got one.
Of that population. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing too is, you know, technology being what it is, I'm sure that you could look at every gas station or person that sells gas in the city that is within the city limits of Ocala and look at their total fuel sales and just calculate, you know, the, you know, gas tax and see what, you know, is collected within the city. I know the legislation doesn't say that.
Right, and those gas stations would have to be willing to share that information with us. That's not
public
information.
Record.
No, it's not.
No.
Sales tax aren't public record.
They're sales.
Sales tax that people pay are.
The amount of fuel that they sell.
No,
right, the amount of fuel that they sell is not public record. That's you know, entity to entity, that's why you see the gas price wars.
I bet you somebody knows how much fuel they sell.
Well, I've got a call in Jay Bailey who's hoping to get me in touch with a couple of the larger gas station owners so I can talk to them about these very questions to find out who the supplier is, to get some inside information. I have yet to get the information, though.
Don't you think that Tallahassee knows how much fuel's sold?
On a county-by-county basis, yes.
But not?
Yeah, they stopped collecting the data at the county level.
Who do they pay that tax to?
The state. It's paid directly to the state.
Wouldn't the state know that the gas station that?
The gas station does not pay it. The supplier pays it.
Based on
the amount of
that they
gallons
sell.
They sell within that county.
Not
correct.
To that gas station.
Not to the gas station. And those gas stations have the option to switch suppliers at will based on who's providing them the best price.
I guess that's why there's no local option fuel tax available just to the city.
Correct.
Could be one of the arguments.
That'd be a great piece
of legislation. Yeah.
The trips are a great thing. We have looked at some of the trip information. The counter argument, if you will, that you will hear from the county is they had to drive over a county road to get to your city road to make those number of trips. So the equal amount of trips were on the county road getting to your city.
Yeah, but once they get in the city, they stay in the city all day long.
Yes, and then when they leave, they have to go back across that county road to get back where they came from. So that, just so you know, we have broached that, and that's going to be their counter argument.
It was asked earlier.
This is how this is the conception of toll booths. I mean, this is where you can go to Orlando or Tampa or the New Jersey Turnpike or any of these cities. It gets to a point where, all right.
But my
dollar to come into the city.
But my counterpoint to that would be the fact that they're getting up in the morning and actually coming here. We had to build all the infrastructure to give them a reason to actually come
here.
Absolutely. Otherwise, they wouldn't have any reason to come here.
Well, let's jump down to that, if I can invite you to go to page 3, where we make our arguments. And let me summarize what I've heard. Is staff has tried to gather as much information we can to embolden whatever arguments that we have. I will tell you that, for example, your argument, I personally appreciate it. What the county will tell you is, proportionately, doing this by population is the most equitable way across the board. That's what they're going to say. It's easily understood, it's easily calculated, and it's easily recorded. And so that's what they're going to argue. And they're going to argue that proportionately and equitably, you can't find a better way of doing this. So I'm just preparing you for the pushback that you're going to get. You asked earlier, why is this coming about now in terms of the county maybe structuring a allocation formula that's in their benefit? We got a presentation from Onir that shows the open service request as of October of 2012. And there's quite a plethora of them shown on here. And then, two pages back, it talks about options.
Service request for what?
Work orders for road repairs, potholes, things of that nature. And then, of course, 2 pages back, it talks about options for funding road maintenance. So they've got a need, and they're looking for more revenues to meet that need, bottom line. So let's talk about, if we may, the arguments that I think we need to make at Thursday's meeting, and it's on page 3, and let's just go over these one by one. The first one, let me read this. First one says, a reduction in fuel tax proceeds will negatively impact the city of Ocala's ability to properly maintain roads throughout the city. The county should consider approving a distribution percentage at the current level, what we're calling the hold harmless or revenue neutral position. And I'll get back to that in just a moment. As to not impact the city's ability to provide good infrastructure to both the citizens of Ocala as well as the citizens of Marion County, recognizing that Marion County residents come into the city to work and play. Additionally, Marion County has historically received an excess of 70% of fuel tax proceeds, well above any of the proportions received by the county's municipalities. So what this argument is saying is, yes, county, the population basis is certainly an alternative, but so is politically a revenue neutral position, a hold harmless position. That's as equally a viable policy option. And that's what we're saying. And that's what the other cities are gonna say, revenue neutral. You're gonna hear that, revenue neutral. And that's the first argument. The next argument, the population of the city is listed at approximately 56,000. However, the population increases during the work week as residents travel to and from work on city maintained roads. And let's talk about this for just a moment. The population formula the county is advancing does not tell the story of the daytime flux in population. So I've taken the liberty, and you should have at your desk, a Excel spreadsheet that looks like this. Very simple, let me run right through it really quick for you. It begins with the 2000 census at top. In the first row, it says Ocala residential population. This is the 2000 census. It was 45,943. And ironically, the 2000 census identifies an estimated daytime population, and that was 81,838. The difference between the residential population and the daytime population is 35,895, with a percent difference of 78%. So the daytime population swelled by 78% according to the 2000 census. All right, so let's jump forward to 2010. Ocala residential population in 2010 is 56,315. And then what I've done here, it says Matt's conservative estimate for daytime population. What I've done is take the 2000 census Ocala residential population and times it by that 78%. And I believe that's conservative because the county's population has grown considerably since then, as well as all the jobs that are now located in the city of Ocala. So I think that's conservative. That difference comes out to be 43,000, which totals for a daytime population of 100,297. You with me? So if you take Marion County's population currently at 331,000 and divide our estimated daytime population by that, it comes out to be 30%, well above even our existing allocation percent. So that's a way of telling the story about population flux within the city on Thursday's meeting. Are there any questions on that? And I think that's a story that has to be told.
Absolutely.
That's a powerful story. So let's go to number 3. Number 3 is the city currently maintains roads that by definition referenced in Florida Statute 334 should be under the county's maintenance jurisdiction based upon the Florida Highway most recent functional classification. What this is saying is that right now, the city has accepted maintenance for roads that otherwise, under state statute, should be done by the county.
Do we know what that number
30?
Is?
We do, in fact. The maps that were developed by Bill.
I don't know the number.
We do.
In fact, the roads.
We've got a map that shows every road that we're maintaining that by state statute suggests the county should be maintaining it. 31st Street's an example. Okay? So let me go on.
I hate to interrupt you, but
please,
when you say suggest, does that mean that there may be some interpretation?
Yes,
that,
I was going to say. Yes.
I don't think it's interpretation, and staff, please correct me. I think it's the fact that the city, as I understand it, wanted to maintain these roads at a higher level and accepted maintenance responsibility. Is that your understanding?
Yes, my understanding is that we have our local agreements that outline that we decided we could better maintain these roads, and we took them into our inventory, and we have been maintaining them.
Was it Fort King, one of those roads?
Yes, there's a whole list of them in the interlocal.
We'll get a map. We got a map showing what should be under statute maintained by the county and what should be maintained by the city. Now, keep that thought in mind. Let's continue on number three. It says the term functional classification, when used in the Florida Transportation Code, means the assignment of roads into systems according to the charter of service they provide in relation to the total road network using procedures developed by the Federal Highway Association. Don't worry about that. Let's go on. The city expends fuel tax proceeds to maintain these roads. Reduction in the fuel tax proceeds may necessitate, and this is the puncher here, the transference of such roadways back to the county to maintain. It should be noted that urban arterial roadways are generally more costly to maintain. What this is saying is, county, if you reduce our allocation, why don't you take back those roads? And by the way, the functional classification of most of the city's roads are much higher than your two-lane county road. Because all the population comes into the city, we have to build four-lane roads, six-lane roads, which are more expensive to build and, mind you, more expensive to maintain. Okay?
Well, Mr. President, I mean, we take care of those roads at a higher level than they do, which is why we took it over. Fort King was a disaster until we fixed it.
Yep.
Definitely.
Number four. Residents living within the city limits are also county residents. This is going right back to the arguments many of you made just earlier. As reduction in the fuel tax distribution will also have an adverse effect on county taxpayers. And this goes back to the point of if the municipalities are successful, the county's going to be successful. That's the bottom line. And so why reduce those revenues to maintain those roadways by which most of your county residents travel on to go to work? Number five. It's horrible timing. Marion County and the county's five municipalities are still contending with economic impacts of the Great Recession. Revenues have yet to recover, and a loss of fuel tax would have a heightened impact on local municipalities. It goes back to revenue neutral. No negative impact by reducing the allocation of revenues. Number six is functional classification. We've already talked about this. City of Ocala has more road miles with a higher functional classification. In other words, even though the county has more total miles, we have more total miles with higher functional classifications.
And Matt, on those, they've got more miles,
yep.
Right? But I would probably argue that the traffic count on those roads, the cars that actually go on them out in the middle of the forest, you just can't be that many, correct? Right? The traffic counts.
I guess, as you would, it'd be very little.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, in Utah Highway Department, what they did in distributing sales tax of this nature was they would classify roadways, and they'd give them a point. A dirt road was 1 point. A two-lane highway was 2 points. A four-lane road was 5 points. A six-lane road was 8 points. That recognized, of course, the functional classification. Staff's not confident, though, that would net us the percent allocation that we need even doing that. And so that's really not an argument in of itself to make, but in combination it becomes, I think, more influential. And number seven, which is the last one we have, is spirit of cooperation. This goes back to the county chairperson. Changes that adversely impact the percentages would be contrary to the spirit of cooperation that has been ascertained working together to make Ocala, Marion County more successful economically. So those are the seven arguments we make. We think, as a whole, I think they're pretty powerful arguments. And it's going to be important that on Thursday, each of you step up to the mic and, of course, make your arguments known. The municipalities that I've talked to are all going to be there in force. And I'd also encourage you behind the scenes to be making those phone calls to the Board of County Commissioners.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are great arguments, man. You did a good job putting them together. And especially the last one, you know, we continually to talk about that great working relationship, you know, that we have, you know, with the county. And, you know, now it's kind of, pardon the pun, where the rubber meets the road, or where the gas meets the road. You know, it's time to, you know, walk the walk. But so many times too, you know, we come up with interlocal agreements and we do this, we do that with the county, and sometimes it just never seems to work out. This would be a great time to, you know, make it work out, because I know that we've got things that, you know, are in the future where we're going to be, you know, splitting some taxes, and be great if they could, you know, partner with us and do the right thing here and, you know, make this work for everyone, our constituents or their constituents.
Another number that would be interesting, and again, these are just things that, it's like common sense, yet obviously sometimes in government common sense just doesn't work, but how many jobs are people going to work in the city of Ocala, city of Bellevue, city of Dunellen, city of McIntosh, city of Reddick? How many, you know, for the county to say, well, those people have to drive on a county road to get to the city road, because they're stinking going to work, guys. Do you not want them, okay, stay off our road, so therefore don't come to work? I mean, it's, people are, it's their lives, I mean, it's their livelihood. I mean, and that's where, again, going back to the economic hubs and the economic centers and the reason these cities exist and have existed, the people who, again, choose not to have the city life, live in the city life, still depend greatly upon these cities, because it's, you know, the good percentage of where they work, where, I mean, their lives are centered around, you look at the schools, the same type of thing. I mean, it just, I don't know, it's unfortunate, it seems like we even have to go through these elementary arguments, but we shall see. I've reached out to a couple of them. But
I often relate the city and the county relationship as a marriage, where I'm having good days and bad days, but nobody's going anywhere.
Still living in the same house.
We're still here.
Wow, that's good.
But the other question I have is, and this is just curious, I don't know that it adds to any argument or anything, but I'm just my own personal curiosity, is the ad valorem taxes and what the other municipalities have done with that over the years and through this downturn. I know we've voted pretty regularly to do the revenue neutral option, and the county has taken a stance of keeping their that level the same.
Yep.
And I almost wonder if this is not a way to kind of fill that gap for them, and wondering what the other municipalities have done.
I can provide you with that information. I have that information.
I'd be interested very much to see what that is.
It goes back again to that. The next question that you ask, and it just starts getting their britches in a wad. How many voters are in the municipalities as a whole? Because the numbers are stacked right now. You can win a county seat and not have one single solitary vote in any of the municipalities, and you can still win an election. And that has to go, a lot of it, with the mentality, just what you talked about, Susie, not raising your taxes, efficient government, less government, da-da-da, and all this other thing. That only works for so long, and the needs start to build. Community starts to grow, and so it eventually you do have those, you know, this front that we're really good, you know, we're being good stewards of your money, just don't worry about where we're getting the rest of it to be able to be good stewards. And so what it ends up, again, a smaller portion of the population taking care of the masses.
I was going to say that.
And I'll go back to, as I said last week, you tell me which political philosophy that lines up with.
Well, and like Councilman McLeod said, you know, in that urban service area, that, you know, population around Ocala, I don't know what that number is, but it'd be, you know, we'd change that population mix if we were to annex all that area in, then those numbers would suddenly change.
That's what we need to do, Mr. Mayor.
That's been talked about.
That's as far as it's going to be being talked about. You know they won't do that.
Is there any additional information that council members need from staff in preparation for Thursday's joint work meeting, besides the items I have listed here? If not, we, both Cindy, John, and I are accessible. Feel free to call us at any time, and we'll brief you as much as we can on whatever question you might have. We will try to get this information out to you as quickly as possible and farm you as much data as we possibly can. Council President, I will conclude my remarks and turn the time back over to you.
We are adjourned.
Good job.